Okay, guys, so you're in your backyard and you're playing wiffle ball or kickball, right? Like you did as a kid, maybe. And here's what happened in my backyard. So the team's up to bat, and there's a runner on second base, and there's a hit to the outfield, and the runner on second comes around, and the throw comes in from the outfield, and the throw from the outfield and the runner at home plate meet simultaneously at the exact same time. The tag is applied, and the runner steps on home plate at the exact same moment. There is no instant replay, and an argument breaks out. He's out. No, he's safe. He's out. He's safe. Back and forth and back and forth until the one diplomatic person yells out, "Do over! Do over!" And finally, everyone reluctantly says, "Okay, okay, act like that didn't even happen." And so you just start over as if it never happened. And I'm wondering if some of us are saying, you know, can we just do that for 2020? Can we just say, "Hey, 2020, do over?" Unfortunately, we can't. But my question for you today is, could we possibly restore the lost year of 2020? Could God do that somehow? You know, we can restore all sorts of stuff, guys. Cars, houses, paintings, relationships, money, credit, health, furniture. But there's one thing you can't restore, and that's time. Once time flies, it's gone. You're not getting it back. Unless you're in the DeLorean with Marty McFly, you cannot go back to the future and get time back. You cannot change it. You cannot restore it. And that's why what we are going to read today is so unexpected, because the prophet Joel, we're making our way through the minor prophets, and the prophet Joel in chapter 2, verse 25 says this incredible promise of God, says, "I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten." And the question today is, can God restore this lost year of 2020? You talk about restoring years, that's impossible. I mean, you can't restore time, but God says he can. And I want to invite you into this passage of scripture. What's this all about, these swarming locusts? What's he talking about, restoring the years of locusts have eaten? Well, what possible connection could that have to 2020? Well, come with me. The original context from nearly 3,000 years ago is clear. The people of God were having a terrible time of it because they were getting swarmed with locust plagues. Not 1 year, not two, not three, but 4 years in a row. And God called them to return to him. The reason these locust plagues are coming is mostly because they had forgotten about God. And God's trying to get their attention and says, "Come back to me." And so they're experiencing tough times. And guys, we too can experience devastating losses just like they did. That's the first principle I want to say to you. We may experience devastating losses. But look at verse 11. "The Lord makes his voice heard in the presence of his army. His camp is very large. Those who carry out his command are powerful." He's talking about the locusts here that he has sent to get the attention of his people. "Indeed, the day of the Lord is terrible and dreadful. Who can endure it? 4 consecutive years of plagues of locusts." How bad is that? I mean, we think the coronavirus pandemic is bad, but I'm telling you, a locust plague is even more devastating. In fact, some of you don't know this, but this year, in parts of Africa and parts of Asia, they are experiencing invasions of locusts by the millions. Check it out.
Now, India and Pakistan are facing their worst plague of locusts in decades. Authorities in both countries fear a food security crisis. And even as Pakistan struggles with the economic fallout of the coronavirus lockdown, its agricultural sector says the insect infestation poses a greater challenge.
These tiny insects are far from fussy eaters. Feasting in swarms of millions, they're now threatening to out-eat Pakistan's population at a critical time. "The locust threat is several times more dangerous than the coronavirus. I would say it is 100 times, 1,000 times more dangerous than corona. When you were fighting against coronavirus, you had crops, grains, vegetables, things to eat. No one went to bed hungry." While Pakistan's economy is reeling from the ongoing coronavirus lockdown, the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization estimates its agricultural losses from locusts could surpass $5 billion this year. Authorities have set up a national response team to assist 61 districts of the country that are under threat.
June ke pehle aur dusre hafte
the first and second weeks of June are going to be critical for us because the locusts that are now in Iran and in Muscat will start heading towards Pakistan.
Aur Muscat ke andar maujood hai wo Pakistan ka rukh karna shuru ho jayega.
To combat that, we have stationed helicopters in various desert regions that fall along the way. In the meantime, desperate farmers waiting for help have had to take matters into their own hands, trying to drive the locusts away with noise. In neighboring India, it may sound like a party, but there's nothing to celebrate as the country struggles with the same problem. Devastated crops, a further threat to the region, which is also struggling with economic costs of lockdown. Here, teams are scrambling to stop the swarms before breeding can take place during the monsoon season, which begins in July.
Wow, that is devastating, guys. Devastating, those locust invasion. That gets you a sense of what the people of God were up against. But here's the promise. The Lord can renew us through changed hearts. Verse 12, he says, even now, this is the Lord's declaration, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning, tear your hearts and not just your clothes and return to the Lord your God. He says, you don't have to do a fancy religious show. Just have a heartfelt turn to me. For he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and he relents from sending disaster. What he says here in their context is that all it takes is for the people who sense their need of God's, who sense the need of God's mercy, his grace in their lives. They said, I want to turn back to you, Lord. And short time or long, he can make a difference. Let them say, have pity on your people, Lord. Spare us, God. And do not make your inheritance a disgrace, an object of scorn among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? In other words, we don't just ask this for ourselves. We ask it for the sake of the name of God. So other people would see our lives and say, God's real. And what we learn then, if people will turn to God, that the Lord can restore to us the lost years. Here's where it gets crazy, guys. Verse 18, then the Lord became jealous for his land and spared his people. See, because he loves to bless his people. The Lord answered his people, look, I'm about to send you grain, new wine, and fresh oil. You'll be satiated with them, totally satisfied. And I will no longer make you a disgrace among the nations. So in their agricultural context, 3,000 years ago, all the losses of those harvests are going to be reversed and in fact multiplied abundantly. Verse 20, I will drive the northerner far from you. This was a foreign invader who is getting ready to invade them because of their weakness. And I'll banish him to a dry and desolate land. Verse 21, don't be afraid, land. Rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has done astonishing things. It's time to get past the fear, the overwhelming fear. It's time for joy to be restored to our lives. Joy makes a huge comeback. Children of Zion, rejoice and be glad in the Lord your God, because he gives you the autumn rain for your vindication. He sends showers for you, both autumn and spring rain as before. The threshing floors will be full of grain, and the vats will overflow with new wine and fresh oil. Again, in their farming context, God says, I'm going to restore all those years of losses with more than you lost. Way more than you lost will be gained. It'll be much better than before, totally improved. And then to the high point of the whole passage, verse 25, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust ate. Young locust, destroying locust, devouring locust, the great army that I sent against you. You will have plenty to eat and be satisfied. You will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. My people will never again be put to shame. You will know that I am present in Israel. You'll have a new sense of the presence and nearness of God, that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other, and my people will never again be put to shame. But guys, that was then. I mean, it's 2,800 years ago or more that this was written. What about now? What are we talking about these locust plagues for? Well, here's something I know, guys. We know that what was written in the Old Testament was written for our sake. And if it's recorded in the scriptures, then we know that there's something to be gained from their experience for our experience in the midst of everything that we're going through. It's this book and this passage are incredibly, radically applicable and relevant to today. In fact, the Apostle Paul says of the Old Testament happenings in 1 Corinthians 10, listen, these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our instruction, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. In other words, everything that the people of God experienced way back then has come to us today to serve as great examples for us to learn and be encouraged by. This passage is incredibly encouraging if you have experienced losses, maybe during this COVID-19 pandemic, or maybe just in life, last years. Do you believe what he said? I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. Well, my question for you today, right now, as we look at this, and guys, I want to tell you something. Years ago, a friend of mine named Colin Smith, a great Scottish preacher, gave this message, and I'm greatly indebted to him for the application he drew out years ago, and I want to thank him for giving us some great insights here. So what are locust years? What kind of years can God restore? What are our modern day locust years for the people of God today? What do we learn from their example? Well, let me describe to you some of the kind of locust years that this might include. Scripture has all kinds of descriptions in many different places of these sorts of things. The first kind of year I want to talk about is empty years. These are kind of fruitless years, empty years. From their context, the farmer went out and he put in all this incredible time and effort into planting and watering and weeding and doing everything he could to have this crop. And then suddenly the locusts came and just wiped it all out. Not once, but 2, 3, 4 times. Have you had an empty year like that? It's like maybe you're in business and you put a tremendous amount of effort into something. And you had all these high hopes and dreams of what it would be. And all your work has amounted now to nothing. It's all been wiped out. You've experienced some kind of devastating loss. Or any kind of thing that you've poured your heart and soul into. And now it's empty. Can God restore the years the locusts have eaten? Another kind of year that's a locust year is painful years. Here I'm talking about a sorrows, suffering, losses. Maybe there's somebody right now listening to this. You're there and you've experienced a devastating loss. Maybe someone you deeply love lost and you had these plans for your life, and you were looking forward to you're going to be able to do with that person you love, and it's been taken away, and you've experienced this loss, or maybe the loss of your health, or some other kind of devastating loss. It's been painful, it's been sorrowful, and I'm telling you, this passage is telling you that God can restore to you the year of a painful loss. There's another kind of locust year, and that's selfish years. Here's another one. Selfish years. These are a locust year of a different variety. Here's where somebody, let's just call him Zach. And Zach is maybe he professed his faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe he is a follower of Jesus. But you know what? For him, it's kind of like one room of his house, his life is like one room in his house is his spiritual life, but the rest of his rooms of his life are left untouched by the gospel of Jesus. I mean, Zach just had his dreams and he's pursued them and he's kind of kept Jesus out of those, and it's kind of just been this one room where he kind of does church and kind of does worship, but the rest of it is kind of sealed away. And Zach has had his own desires and his own plans, and he's pursued those, and perhaps quite selfishly, He's got what he wants. He wants to pursue. And Jesus, though he may know him, has not been important to him as it has been to many others. And then one day, God gets a hold of Zach's heart. And suddenly he understands that Jesus is the Lord and he wants to come into all these areas of his life. And suddenly his selfishness, he said, why have I wasted so many years of my life in selfish pursuits? And he feels this great, Zach feels this great sense of overwhelming loss. I've blown it. I've just wasted, frittered away years of my life. Can those ever be regained? And God says, I will restore to you the years the locust has eaten. And then there's another kind of locust year, and that's loveless years. Maybe, brother, sister, you've been in a family situation that's just lacking love. You've longed for a spirit of love to be in your family or in your friendships or relationships. But there's been some kind of alienation that's happened. There's been some type of breakdown. There's been a lot of strained relationships, and there's been distance. Maybe you're in a marriage like that. And you look at other people's marriages and you say, I would so want that in my life. I've lost so much for so many years. Or maybe you've longed to have a relationship like that, but it hasn't happened yet. You've longed to know someone and come to know someone, but that person has not yet come into your life. And you look at the calendar and the years are passing by and you're saying, wow, there's sure been a lot of years. And it concerns you and it breaks your heart. Can God restore to you those loveless years? Can he restore to you the years the locust has eaten? Yes. We'll get there in a minute, but yes, he can. How about here's another one, rebellious years. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home, but for some reason, you have just had this seed of rebellion. You're just like, I'm going to do my own thing. And you've gone out on your own and you've done all sorts of things, but you thought would make you happy, but you've come to a place in your life that you recognize, it didn't make me happy. In fact, it's only brought me pain. Oh, sure, there was some fun along the way, but there's an emptiness, there's a pain. And you long and you for something more, and you say, wait a minute, I've wasted so many years of being a prodigal. Can God restore years to me that I've lost, that I've blown? Yes. Yes, he can. How about this, misdirected years? Here's years of your life that maybe there's nothing sinful about it, but maybe you made some decisions or some choices. Maybe it was a business decision, or maybe it was a location decision, or maybe it was a financial decision, or I don't know what it was, but it wasn't wrong. But now you look back on it and you regret it and you say, man, I wasted a lot of years because of that. And you're longing to know, could God restore to me the years that that decision has cost me? And then finally, the Christless years. And I especially want to talk to you, those of you who perhaps have not yet crossed the line of faith. Let me tell you something. Every year without Christ is a locust year. It's a year of loss. And it's not too late, because I'm telling you from this passage, there's a promise here. He says, if you can come to faith in Jesus Christ, if you can put your hope and faith in him, he can restore to you all those years that the locust has eaten. Could God restore? Let me ask you this question. Why wouldn't you pray this kind of promise that God gives to you? I will restore the years the locust has eaten. I will restore it to you. Why couldn't you begin praying along those lines? Why wouldn't you not do that? Ask God to make this promise a reality in your life. He could actually restore to you abundantly in provision and in many ways. those lost years. Who can experience this promise? Who are the ones who can experience this promise? It's pretty simple, actually. Verse 17 tells us. It's people who sense a need for God's grace. They said in verse 17, they prayed, Lord, have pity on your people. Spare your people. Are you at a point in your life when you just say, God, please show your grace to me? I sense a need for your mercy in my life. Maybe because of choices, sinful choices that you've made, or maybe you've just gone through devastating losses and difficulties, and you're saying, God, I need your restoring grace in my life. Could you bring back the peace? Could you take away the fear? Could you give me the grace and joy again that have been missing for way too long? And then it comes also to people who want to advance God's kingdom. They prayed in verse 17, why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? In other words, they were praying for God to restore them because they were concerned that some other people might think that God wasn't real. And so this kind of prayer is a prayer, not a selfish prayer, like I want to get more, I want to have more. But I want you to restore to me those lost years so that Jesus would be real in my life and so that other people could see that Jesus is real in my life. I want to turn to him. I want to know him in a special way so that people see the reality of my faith and the joy and the peace and the strength and the passion that I have in my life is real and other people will see it. Now that's the kind of prayer that God delights to answer. So those are the people that can experience this promise. People that sense a need of God's grace and people that want to advance, who want to advance God's kingdom. Is that you? Then if it is, why wouldn't you pray this prayer? Why wouldn't you say, I want those years to be restored, God. Could you please restore those years the locust has eaten? How could God ever do that? How could you see this happen in your life? Well, it's miraculous, it's wonderful, it's beyond description, but very, very quickly, how can God restore the lost years? First, by deepening your relationship with Jesus. You know, there's a guy in the New Testament that we learn about in the Gospels in Luke chapter 19. His name was Zacchaeus. He was a wealthy guy, but he sensed his need for Jesus. And one day he hears Jesus is coming to town. He climbs up a tree. He's yelling out for Jesus. And people point out, Zacchaeus is in this tree looking for Jesus. And Jesus came to the place. He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down because today it's necessary for me to stay at your house. So Zacchaeus quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. And look what happens. All who saw it began to complain. He has gone to stay with a sinful man. This guy had wasted a lot of years of his life bilking people of money, doing a lot of bad things. Verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half my possessions to the poor, Lord, and if I've extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. You see, God has a way have taken all the wasted years, no matter if they were caused by choices or by just what happened to you, and said, I can restore to you, like Zacchaeus, way more than what's been lost. Oh, he gave up some stuff, some wealth and some stuff. He was going to experience some of that, but he gleefully, joyfully gave it away because he said, man, I got Jesus. And there's something that can happen in the days of losses that God can restore to you such a deep and real faith that it more than compensates. You're like, I've come to know God in such a deep way. I would never trade all the losses of my past with the joy and the peace and the love that I've now experienced because of my deepening faith in Jesus. And for some of you, it's going to be a first-time faith where you trust in Christ today. But also, Not only can God deepen your relationship with Jesus, that's how he can restore the lost years. And why wouldn't you pray for that? And why wouldn't you seek that? Why wouldn't you ask God for that? He can also multiply your harvests. He can take whatever we have lost and multiply that. He can, like in the Old Testament, multiply those harvests. And in the New Testament, those harvests typically aren't actual crops, but they're the seed of the Word of God. Or Peter says, we've left everything. We've lost so much in following you. And here's what Jesus says to Peter one day. He says, I tell you, there is no one who has left a house, wife, or brothers or sisters, parents or children because of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more at this time and eternal life in the age to come. So somehow God can make you more fruitful in your life. For you can actually experience, in spite of the losses, the wasted years or the lost years of the past, God can multiply more love, more joy, more hope, more peace, more impact than you ever thought possible. The great British preacher Charles Spurgeon once said, God can do more in a year, yes, even in a day, than you could accomplish on your own in a lifetime. And that is true. And do you believe that today? Are you willing to begin to pray that kind of prayer to say, God, restore to me the years the locusts have eaten. I want more fruit in my life. I want to see more abundance in my life. More of you in my life and more impact in you in my life, more hope, more peace, more joy, more love. And God can do it no matter what the losses have been of 2020 or beyond. Let's move past the losses. We have so focused on the losses of this year that we forgot that God is able to restore way more than we could ask or imagine. And finally, God can transform our losses into gains. Paul the apostle was a man who had incredible impact as a religious leader of his day, as a Pharisee. And then he met Jesus, and he left it all behind him. And he says, yeah, there was a lot of loss there. He says, but everything was a gain to me now that I know Christ. I've considered everything to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung so that I may gain Christ. James tells us, consider it great joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you experience trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect so that you be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So God can take the losses, our short-term losses, the trials that we face today, and turn them into long-term gain. Long-term gain that has incredible impact on ourselves and on others. Do you believe that? Why wouldn't you pray, Lord, restore to me the years the locusts have eaten? You guys, I want to share this with you as we wrap up. Here's a picture I took of the awesome Ruth Steef. I took this picture on Friday afternoon. When we got home from the University of Iowa Hospital. Guys, yeah, this week, Ruth had a flare-up of an infection in where she'd had that cancer removed almost 11 months ago. And it was growing enough, this infection, that had to go back into the hospital, spent 3-plus days there. Now it's under control. She's going to have a surgery on August 3rd to just remove any remaining. But I want you to see this picture in Ruth and the smile that she has on her face. Guys, I don't know how to tell you this, but it's been a locust year for Ruth and for me. And guys, sometimes I pray for you as pastor, and sometimes I just pray with you as pastor. We've had a locust year. But you know what we've been praying? God, restore the years locust has eaten. And we already see him doing that. He's giving us incredible depth with him and knowing him in a greater and stronger ways than we've ever known him. He's drawn us together closer than ever before. He's revealed to us friendships and the love and compassion of the people of Valley Church and many others in a way that we've never seen. Our hearts have been enriched by this. Now, we're not out of that locust year yet, and the total restoration is still to come. But we're already seeing God's restoration in this locust year for us. And we're praying that he'll continue to restore. And in faith, we totally believe and know that God will restore more than abundantly anything that has been lost this year. Will you pray the same prayer we've been praying? God, restore the years the locust has eaten. Guys, today, wherever you are, I just want to ask you to take the bread and the cup. And I'm going to pray. And as I pray, I want you to remember Jesus. He was cut off. The judgment of God fell on him so it wouldn't fall on us. Can you just, as I read this scripture and as I pray, partake of the bread and the cup? Isaiah writes, "For he was cut off from the land of the living. He was struck because of my people's rebellion. After his anguish, he will see the light and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will carry their sins. Therefore, I will give him many as a portion, and he will receive the mighty as spoil." It's going to be an abundant harvest. "Because he willingly submitted to death and was counted among the rebels, yet he bore the sin of many and interceded for the rebels." Father, we thank you for your Son that you gave freely, willingly for us. You sent your judgment upon him. The locusts swarmed over him. The judgment fell on him so that we could be set free. We thank you for that. We partake of this bread, the symbol of his body, this cup, the symbol of his blood. He was cut off in the prime of life. As a young man for our sake. And we pray, oh God, with thanksgiving, in faith, that you are able to restore to us the years the locusts have eaten. Speak to one who has even not yet come to faith in Jesus, and in this very moment, they would trust in you. Because Jesus died for them to restore their life forever. And all God's people agreed and said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. You have a great day.